Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Today is January the 20th. I'm your host, Carl. And I have another mystery guest on this episode who will be revealed later on. But first of all, I am just going to have my segment on this day in history, which I didn't have last week due to technical complications down here at the station. And we're just going to jump right into history for January the 20th. First of all, we have on January 20, 1953, was the first time a U.S. telecast was transmitted to Canada. Now, since the beginning of broadcasting, it's always been the case that Canadians watch more U.S. programs than Canadian ones. Even in the 1950s, the most popular programs on CBC, which was the only channel in a lot of areas at the time, were American. Now, at the time, two-thirds of CBC's primetime audience was generated by American programs. This was because of shows like Ed Sullivan, Father Knows Best, Perry Como, and I Love Lucy, all those classic 50s American sitcoms. And the reason that there was not much Canadian content at the time was simply that the CBC didn't need it. They could just import anything from the US and Canadian audiences would be fine with it. Now, these days, original content becomes more important, of course, because streaming gives everyone more options and no one really depends on the CBC or really any other TV stations anymore. And this is why, in recent years, we've had more Canadian original programming emerging, some of which have achieved global popularity, such as the show Orphan Black, Kim's Convenience, or Schitt's Creek. Next up in history, on January 20, 1961, John F. Kennedy becomes the youngest president of the United States. January 20, of course, is also Inauguration Day in the US. And here's a fun fact about JFK. He was once shipwrecked when he fought in World War II. After being hit by a Japanese destroyer, he swam 3 miles to the nearest island in the Solomon Islands in Oceania. And he wrote an SOS message on a coconut shell, of all things. After a few days, he and the others were saved by natives who worked with the Allies. And Kennedy kept the coconut shell on his desk in the Oval Office as a reminder of his near-death experience. In more history, on January 20, 1971, this is a good one, John Lennon meets Yoko Ono's parents in Japan. 1971 was also the year that Imagine was released, which in my opinion is John Lennon's best song, and certainly my favorite. In more history, on January 20, 1980, President Jimmy Carter announces the US boycott of the Olympics in Moscow. This was to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and other countries such as Japan, West Germany, China, the Philippines, Chile, Argentina, and Canada joined into this. And lastly, on January 20, 1982, heavy metal musician Ozzy Osbourne, who was the frontman of Black Sabbath at the time, bites the head of a bat on stage in Des Moines, Iowa. Which, wow, I think this is the first time on the show that I actually nailed the pronunciation of anything French, Des Moines. Mark Neal, the 17-year-old fan who had brought the bat, said it had been dead for a long time. However, Ozzy still insists to this day that the bat he ate was alive. Immediately after, Ozzy had to get rabies shots, and kids, this is the reason why your parents don't like metal music. So much for January 20 history. Next up, I am going to play you a CD by an artist named Andrea Petridi. She makes some really interesting jazz music. And then we're going to get back to our mystery guest in the studio today. So yeah, this is Andrea Petridi. Thank you. We are back here on CGSF 90.1 FM. This is Speak Up. And I have a guest in the studio. And that's our newest intern here at the station. This is Deborah.
Hello.
You want to introduce yourself, Deborah?
Okay. Let me just say a good morning to all your listeners. As you said, I'm Deborah. From Africa in Ghana. And I'm a student here at Simon Fraser University offering communication studies. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about doing an internship, yes. And where else to do an internship? I've always been fascinated about doing radio. It's always an opportunity to express yourself. It's always an opportunity to educate somebody.
Yeah.
It's always an opportunity to impact society. And so I decided to come to CGSF. And so far, so good. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Like, I have a good tutor here. Your host is a good teacher.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we were talking about news earlier and like the importance of having a voice in the news that represents you, kind of.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're all about here at CGSF, like giving anyone who wants to express themselves a voice.
Yes.
Right? So that's like one of the great opportunities here.
Radio is actually a great medium. Like, you never know the extent to which radio is actually changing a community.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there are things that are left. There are things that probably somebody just reads online and that is it. But then when you have an opportunity to sit on radio and educate people about it, you get to realize that people actually get different perspectives to the stories that they learned. And then an opportunity to have probably a panelist and then the two of like panelists discuss what's going on gives people a broader view on whatever that is going on around them. And I think that when people are conscious of whatever goes on around them, they are able to effect change. Like, I am so much of a person that believes in development,
mm-hmm.
and believes in affecting the lives of people, and people having that mandate, having that capacity to also do something for themselves. And so anything radio, I'm in for it.
Yeah, it's interesting with radio because like people always talk about radio as a medium that's sort of, I don't want to say dying out, but definitely becoming less popular over time. Not just because of TV and the internet, but also like podcasts are becoming more of a thing that replaces radio. And obviously for music, like these days everyone signed up to some streaming service, so anyone can listen to whatever specific music they want to at any time, right?
Yes.
And like my iPhone, for example, doesn't even have a radio on it.
Wow.
But what I think is cool about radio stations like this one is they sort of have that local thing that like you're missing on like podcasts or something.
Yes.
Right? Because like people who tune into CGSF can only tune in from like the Vancouver and mm-hmm. the Lower Mainland and all that. So like that's our audience, right? Like people from Vancouver. So that's who we direct our content at.
But then there are a lot of immigrants in the country. You know, Canada is a very culturally diverse country.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I'm an immigrant. Like back home in my country, like you every morning tune into any radio station and
really?
They're discussing newspapers and everywhere is it's a morning show. Every morning show starts at 6 a.m. and from 6 a.m. we are discussing things on the country. But as an immigrant coming here, I realized that okay, I'm not getting that. Till I discovered CGSF, I was always reading online, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of stories going on in Vancouver. It will amaze you that immigrants like me don't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us are from Canada, obviously.
Yes, and I feel that we could do more because the streaming, reading online, some people, now the youth are so much interested in, they read a whole lot of things, but I don't think, majority of the people aren't concerned about their community, to me. When sometimes I have this, is it CTV News? I don't know if it's CTV News.
Yeah, I know that.
It pops
channel,
up
yeah.
every time on my phone with news. And there's a lot of things going on in Vancouver. But then I go to my classmates and then I have people who are Canadians who have lived in Vancouver all their lives. And then you ask them about things going on around and they don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't know. So sometimes you are asking, are we doing much as media personalities to conscientize to people, to actually educate people out there, to be concerned about what is going on? In I know, like, there are a lot of movements coming up. There are a lot of the pipeline movements, mm-hmm. which I was so proud of. But then I don't, if the media could just standing strong, and it's going to go far.
Yeah,
it's even going far because of the media. Yes,
the pipeline thing is a good example, I think.
As a good example,
because that's something that when I went to the pipeline rally, it seemed like a very big thing being there. But then I looked it up on the news, and I think . Only the very local Burnaby Now magazine or something was covering it, which is so weird because it seems like it'd be such
thing
an, yeah.
We need to talk about.
And it's really important to a lot of people, and this is we did a lot of coverage on that specifically.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's
a really big, there's a whole lot going on around us in Vancouver here that we could spend hours talking and telling people out there for them to actually be concerned about their society and community. That I feel that to an extent we are not doing much. Maybe because I'm only listening to CGSF. Maybe because, as you are saying, the relevance of radio is dwindling, if I'm right to say. Because when if you go to Ghana, for instance, and then it's easy to be introduced to a radio station.
Do people still listen to a lot more radio in Ghana?
They do. We listen a lot to radio. It's so easy to be introduced to a radio station. But I've been here 5 months, and the only radio station that I have... Maybe I have not been inquisitive enough. Yes, I agree. I take the fault. It's CJSF. And CJSF because I was introduced to CJSF. The rest I just read online.
Yeah, I feel like the only time people really listen to radio anymore is when they're in their cars. And even then, lots of cars these days, you can connect them with your phone, and you have Bluetooth speakers and stuff, so you don't really need radio anymore. Which is really sad, because it's I think it's one of the coolest mediums for news and entertainment in general. There's so much you can do with audio entertainment. There's audio books, there's music, obviously, so many different things, and it's all kind of diminishing in popularity.
And to go back to your history facts about in history, where we had most of the Canadian programs being American programs.
Yeah, which is still the case today, I think.
It's still the case.
Majority of TV shows on CTV and CBC and all those stations are American.
And so to an extent, don't we think that this cultural imperialism is actually making us lose who we are as Canadians? Would you think that the fact that our TV, our radio, most of the news outlets are fed with American content, it's actually a thing we should be scared of?
Kind of, yeah. Well, with the TV thing, it's it's been a thing since the 50s.
Now people are excited when you talk about Disneyland, Disney World. Even my fellow Africans are so I'm going to Disney World. Yesterday I met a kid. She's I'll be traveling to America. I'm going to Disney World. I'm like, that's great.
You're not a fan of Disney theme parks?
That's great. It's not I'm not a fan, but then tell this person that, let's go and do a tour to Ghana. He's like, I don't want to go to Ghana. But that's where they come from. But then it's not their fault, because it is what we have been fed with. It is what we are seeing. Granted, America and the First Nations are actually, they have their resources, and so they can reach a larger scope. But then in our little way, as a community radio, in our little way, as a people, we could also try to do something so that we don't lose out on our people.
Yeah, it's interesting because in France, for example, they have very specific mandates on that they... I think it's not exclusively. It's they have to play French music on radio stations as I think it's like 80 or 70% of the music. And if you listen to radio in France, it's mostly in the French language, right? Because like that's how it's always been, and that's why that's how the music is most popular. And from what I know in Germany, it's like 50-50 basically with like American and British music and then German music. The way we do it here at CJSF is we try to play 35% Canadian content on every show.
That's great.
Yeah, which is actually like 35% is not that much when you think about it.
So where does the 65 go?
Yeah, exactly. probably a lot of American artists again. I don't know.
You know, prior to we starting the show, I was when you talked about your history thing, I was discussing about a problem that I have identified from the land I come from. You see, Africa has about 53 countries, if I am right. And I come from Ghana, which is in the western part of Africa. And there's a news in Nigeria. Let's say there's a breaking news in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana is so close to Nigeria. Ghana is very close to Burkina Faso. Ghana is close to Togo. Ghana is nowhere close to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana is nowhere close to America. But the first news outlet that I go to find out what is happening in Nigeria is on BBC.
Of course.
It's on CNN. Why is that so? If granted, I once worked in a media house, not for long, just wanted to see a bit about media. And then we have our local news. And after our local news, we do foreign news. And if you want foreign news, sometimes I used to have a problem. I'm like, how do you characterize foreign? Is foreign European? Because to me, I feel anything outside your country is foreign.
Yeah, that's how I would define the word.
Yes,
yeah.
But then you realize that the foreign that we are saying foreign news, most of it are looking at news happening in America, happening in the US, happening in the European world. That is the foreign news that was mostly characterized our news media. And then at a point in time, I saw that it was a change. Fine. It's foreign news extended to looking at things that are happening in Africa too. But one amazing thing is anytime my boss would say, oh, find foreign news, the next thing he'll tell me, don't bother, just go on to CNN. Just go on to BBC. You'll find foreign news. So what happened? What's happening? Like, Is it a wake-up call that we all should have probably a continental sort of news media to propagate our news?
When you say that you would listen or watch BBC or CNN,
yes.
Is it like the... is it just like basically copied from like what they would have in the UK? Or do they at least have like reporters and stories from Ghana?
Yes, like mostly we have BBC Africa now.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly they have reporters on the continent that report news happening on the continent that they actually post on their website.
Right.
And so you realize that even in our country, journalists are not doing much. We are not going out there. Probably we have the excuse that there's not enough resources, journalists are underpaid, and so there's no enthusiasm for the work. But this is somebody... This is a news outlet that is so far away from your continent, but is more closer to news in your continent than you are.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, is a bit threatening, that somebody that far away from you is so close to what is happening in your country. Sometimes you don't even know about, but they know about it.
It's weird because, like, that's not the lens you want to see news about your country from, right? Like,
no,
you want to have
a
local perspective.
Yes, you want to have a local
that you personally identify with, kind of.
And because you have lived in the continent, because you've lived in the country,
mm-hmm.
you understand issues more than a foreigner.
Of course, yeah.
And so they are going to report it through a different lens. And then we have scholars coming up and saying that, we have scholars writing and saying that foreign media, have you heard of this argument where there's this argument from African scholars that foreign media actually sells them bad? sometimes I feel that that story
they sell them back.
Yeah, they sell them bad. As in, they report bad news about Africa being a backward continent and all.
Right,
that.
So there's sort of a bias against Africa.
And sometimes I think
news.
That story has over been told. Sometimes I feel that we are just being unfair to the foreigners, to the American media, to the UK media. Because if you don't want that story, what are you doing to overturn that narrative?
Right, it's like... So what you mean is, like, in the news in other countries, they report badly about Africa?
Yes, there are arguments like that foreign media reports bad about Africa.
Right, and you think that's true or it's not true?
To me, to an extent, I would probably agree with them. But I think that the African scholars or the African media should it's enough with that story.
Is that like a very widespread thing that people always talk about?
Yeah, it's a widespread thing, but it's enough. Like, you've backlashed the Western media for a very long time now. What are you doing to change that narrative?
Right, so you think that citizens in those African countries should take the news into their own hands,
because if you are complaining that somebody is not telling your story well and you think you know about it, why aren't you telling your story how you want it to be told?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's weird in general that, like, literally the BBC, the British Broadcasting, whatever the C stands for, that's like the main informant for your guys' news, right? Like, that's not how it should be.
That's not how it should be. And then, one thing I would also not totally say, it's not that we are not reporting our news. We are. But then it is about how our news would get to the international front. I think that is what we should be looking at. How our news would get to the international front. So we bring it to Canada, where in history we had U.S. programs on our TV stations and U.S. news everywhere, and that I don't think at that point in time there was no reporters reporting on things happening in Canada, but it was about how news was going to transcend beyond our community onto the international front, so that Canada would also have its news in the open, have its news easily accessible, that people would also get to know about Canada.
Yeah, right. That there would be Canadian news for Canadian citizens.
The shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting argument.
The shirt.
We're going to play some music.
Sure.
Going to play a CD by an artist named Obuxum. This is an album titled Rebirth. And I'm going to play the first few songs of that album. And then we'll be right back here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Keep tuned in.
Systematically preyed upon. basis. place. It's not they fall too far for lies from prettier faces. Don't blame them.
We are back here on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Still Speak Up. And I'm back here with my guest for today, Deborah. And we were just talking about one of the things you've experienced moving from Ghana to Canada. And that's snow. You had your first time experiencing snow in the last few weeks when the snowpocalypse hit Vancouver.
Okay. Let me just be.
There's a big statement coming. I can feel it.
My first time seeing snow. My very first time seeing snow. When I hadn't seen snow, I was excited about meeting snow. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just say, I'm so glad to meet you, snow.
Because you'd seen snow on like TV and stuff, probably,
yes,
right?
I've
like
seen
movies.
Snow on TV and in the movies and everything. But I think there's a difference between reality.
And like actually experiencing
yes,
it
actually
for yourself.
Experiencing it. So I came here and I'm like, oh, finally, I'm going to see the snow I've been seeing in movies, I've been seeing on TV, I've been seeing everywhere on American media. So, and then to my disappointment, I had a friend tell me, oh, he came here about 4 years ago and the first year he stepped into Vancouver, it didn't snow. I'm like, why didn't it snow? What is the evidence that I am out of my country? It is just snow that says that I am out of Ghana. So why not no snow? So I was sad when he said it might not snow. And then we hit into December. And it's not snowing. And mm-hmm. nothing is happening. And then I'll be reading weather forecast whether it's snow, it's going to snow. And they're like, fine, there are chances there will be snow. So I was so expectant of snow. Until last week, last 2 weeks Friday, I was asleep and I woke up quite late. So I had a text on my phone from this friend of mine, and he's like, "Hooray, the much awaited is in." And so I opened my window, and to tell you the truth about it, without embarrassing myself, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassing myself. When I opened my blind, I'm like, "What is this?" It hits me. I'm scared. My heart actually skips the beat. I'm like, whoa, the whole place is white. The whole place is actually white. I had mixed feelings. I was excited about it. But my first reaction to the truth is I was scared. My heart skipped a bit. I'm like, this is new. What is happening? Till I went out and then I saw that, wow.
Did you have that experience? Like, sometimes when I see snow or when I go out into the snow, it's like a bit stressing for my eyes to just have all the white suddenly.
No, I didn't experience that. I think it's so bright. Maybe you probably don't. It's so bright for you. That's why you probably have a problem with your eye. But I didn't.
Yeah.
I was so enjoying taking pictures and all that. I didn't have time to think about my eyes. Till I slipped. And then I realized, it's not all cozy like that. You need to take your time.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be careful.
Yes, I need to be careful. Like, I think... Even was it last week I was working with you, we were going for coffee, and I nearly slipped. Like, I'm sure if I'd hit my head against that iced block, I don't know where I would have been right now.
Yeah, I actually slipped later on that day here on the campus.
Oh,
so
sorry.
It was a good thing you were careful that time.
Yes. But it's a nice feeling finally seeing the snow. And now I don't know if I would say I like snow more than the rains.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the snow when it's flurry. But then when it freezes up, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because then it becomes like a complication for you, right? Because you...
Yes.
Yeah.
And I get this. I don't know if you also experienced it. I get this migraines because it's so cold. Yes, it becomes so cold. But aside that, I'm glad I saw snow.
Yeah.
Finally.
Was it your highlight of your Vancouver experience so far?
My Vancouver experience so far has been great. Like, I practically like every bit of Vancouver, except the rains, which I think it's quite depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I wake up and everywhere is wet. I'm like,
yeah.
But then last week Friday, I was surprised that the sun actually came out.
Yeah. I think, like, you can get used to rain. Like, what I like to do, for example, is, like, I just like to sit inside and, like, hear the rain falling on my window, and it's just very comforting to know that I'm
so it makes us
inside
lazy.
Where it's warm.
But you can't afford to be
lazy. Yeah, but, like, it forces you to take it slow once in a while, right? So, like...
And it's always raining, and so every time, it's not like once in a while, you're taking it slow. It's like, it's always raining, so you're always taking
that's
it
kind
slow.
Yeah, well, in Vancouver, that's kind of true, yeah, because, like, I just looked at the weather report for the next 3 days, and it just says rain for every single day, like in the next 8 days or something.
That is not pleasing at all. That is not pleasing at all. But I think it's always a good thing to actually move from where you have stayed for a very long time, like to travel outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so to students out there, I think it's great to go on exchange programs and everything, because I have learned a lot. I have learned different perspectives to life, and it's just been 5 months in Vancouver, and now I think Canadians are the most
polite people. So polite, right?
You are so polite. Yeah. Everybody is saying sorry. Everybody's saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." I'm like, why is everybody apologizing?
It's weird because I used to think it was just like a stereotype or kind of a joke. But then, I remember like my first day when I came here, like people were standing in line for the buses and people say thank you when they leave
when
the bus
they get
and stuff.
The bus. So the first time I came, my friend, like he's the only person that I knew here, he's also Ghanaian.
Mm.
He's like, when you get off the bus, just say thank you.
Yeah.
Said, okay, fine. Is that compulsory? And he says, no, it's not. But it's just polite enough to say thank you. And then I realized that, okay, it's a culture. Everybody gets off the bus and they say thank you. And that's I think, it's amazing. And then coming here too, I've got to learn about the importance of the indigenous people. I am so happy about this, that in actual sense, you might think Canada is in Europe, you might think that North America, you might think that in America, like, it's a whole liberal place, it's a whole, nobody cares about people, but I'm actually amazed about how our indigenous people are taken into great consideration when it in Vancouver here
in
in Vancouver. Like, I'm so surprised that with a pipeline, like I said, for instance, people are thinking about the indigenous people, they are thinking about the indigenous land. And till I think I learned something in class, till I came here to be learning about this, I didn't even know that indigenous people had a say in government policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, until very recently, and in parts even today, like, there's been like some very great injustices by the you know, by the colonialists against the indigenous people. So yeah, that they have more of a say in some of these things nowadays.
The power of the indigenous people is so great, and I think I need to, I applaud Vancouver for that, I applaud Canada for that, should I say.
It's interesting because, like, here when there's events or something, like, I went to VIF in September or October of last year, they always specifically say that they're on the grounds of, like, the Musqueam, Squamish, and the different peoples who lived here originally. And it's weird because, like, in the U.S., like because, like, that's, like, the case everywhere in, like, the American continents, right, or like all the ones that were colonialized, but they don't always specifically mention the indigenous people.
Yeah.
So it's very good that they do that here.
True. I really am impressed with that. Like, it really impresses me anytime that my lecturer walks in and he says we should observe a minute silence, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because back in my home country, like, does the government really consult the indigenous before they do things on their lands? They don't. They don't. And so I have come here, and if I've not learned anything, I have learned that we have power as indigenous people. Like, we can contribute. It looks like the people that lead us, who are mostly elitist, have deceived us for a long time, that sometimes we think we don't have the power. We think we are actually depending on them. But we could actually stand for ourselves. Like, you go to a place where they want to mine gold, and it's only a decision between the governments of the day and the investors, and the indigenous people are left out. Mm-hmm. They don't care about destroying their drinking water. They don't care about destroying their lands, which mostly they use for farming. It is all about the land belongs to the state, and the state needs money to run the country. But I realize that it is not like that here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect here, of course. Like, we talked about the pipeline thing a bit before, where the government is kind of going through with that without the, you know, without consulting the indigenous people first, will actually be affected by that. But it's good to know that it is a lot better here than in a lot of other places.
Yes. I think we are all learning. Now we are learning, and as the world progresses, and then, like, I've come into contact with this and I have learned this, if I'm going back to my country, I'm probably also going to take it a step. Like, if I have, like, 5 people like me who have learned, we could probably make, if not a very huge change, at least a significant change.
Yeah.
To actually give consent to the indigenous people.
So that's something you've learned being here in Canada?
Yes, I have. And for the most part, I like your lights during the Christmas. It was very beautiful. I flew over Canada. Mm-hmm. It was great. I visited some parks, which was
Stanley
great.
Park, probably?
Stanley Park, the most famous. Uh-huh.
That's the one everyone goes to first?
Yeah, that's what everybody goes to. Went to Gastown, the amazing clock.
The steam clock. That's like, I think the steam clock is like the funniest tourist attraction ever to me, because, like, it's so, I don't know, it's so small, right? Like, it's,
yeah, it
really doesn't seem like the most amazing
sightseeing thing. It's the attachments we have we have to it that has made it, that has actually grown that name or something. I think it's what people have attached to it, like,
yeah,
yes. And so when you come in, it's not a very big thing, like you are saying, to say that okay, this is a huge tourist attraction. But I think that for over the years,
mm-hmm.
Vancouver has made it, has put it out there, and so
yeah,
when you come in.
Yeah, that's what it is, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap things up, sadly. Next up will be Democracy Now! Thank you so much, Deborah, for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Your listeners will probably be hearing more of Deborah, as she's also doing an internship here at CHSF. I will be back Wednesdays at 3 p.m. with Jambalaya. And yeah, next up, Democracy Now!